Well, tonight's topic and the title of the message is Subject to Change. Subject to Change. Today I want to talk about healing from the perspective of the seen versus the unseen. And in the world today, we go around doing things based on our five senses. I mean, you know, you can't live in the unseen world without knocking into something that's physical, right? So God, however, lives in the spirit realm outside of time. And we are spirit beings who live in a body and have a soul. And we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, okay? So he's in us and we're in him. But a couple times, Pastor Ed, and he was teaching specifically on healing, he quoted some things from the book by F.F. Bosworth, Christ the Healer. And I'm going to start with that one section that he mentioned, because that's kind of going to be the jumping point, because we're talking about the unseen versus the seen world. And in one of the sections of that book, it says, "Why do some fail to receive healing? One reason some people are not healed is because they believe what their five senses tell them in the place of believing the Word of God. We should realize that the five senses belong to the natural man and that they were given to us to be used for the things of this world. But the things of God cannot be discerned, appropriated, and known by the natural senses." He goes on to say, "No kind of physical sensation, such as pain, weakness, or sickness, can ever be a good reason for doubting the fulfillment of any divine promise. How foolish it would be for me to doubt the promise of Christ's second coming because I felt sick or weak or had a pain. And if a pain is not a good reason for doubting one promise, it is not a good reason for doubting any promise. God is just as faithful to one promise as he is to another. If it is foolish to doubt God's promise concerning Christ's second coming because of pain or any disagreeable feeling, it is equally as foolish to doubt God's promise to heal because of these things." So he also says, "The healing of both our souls and bodies is based on the unchangeable truth of Christ's finished work, not on our feelings. The blessings that we take by a steadfast faith in God's promises will always materialize." Let me say that again. "The blessings we take by a steadfast faith in God's promises will always materialize." So, let's talk for a minute now. Adam and Eve started out in the spirit realm, okay? They were not conscious of their nakedness, of things around everything. They were in the spirit realm until sin came into the picture. Now, things changed, and the five senses became something new to them. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. We're just going to read a couple of scriptures. Genesis chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 16 and 17, and then we're going to go into Genesis 3. Everybody there? Okay, Genesis 2, 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, he's not talking about physical death here. He's talking about a spiritual death. Now, go down to chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 1. "Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden?" He's putting doubt in Eve's mind about what God has said. And folks, he hasn't changed. He's still going to use the same tactics on us today. He questioned what God really said back then, and he's going to do it now as well today. Verse 2, "And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." Again, he's questioning. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Notice he didn't say your understanding would be opened. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So we're looking at sight, wise, eat, the eyes. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? Verse 12, and the man said, the woman whom thou gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So Satan will say to you, just as he did to Eve, are you really healed? What's that you're feeling? Look at all that pain you have. How can you be healed? Look at the doctor's report. You don't look healed. Do you really feel healed? And notice that he resorts always to having us go back, get our eyes off the word, off the spiritual, and onto the natural. He wants us to focus only on things from the five senses, and he always magnifies things from the sense realm. He's always going to magnify what we touch, taste, smell, hear, and see. Now, in verse 10, we see for the first time that when Adam heard God's voice, fear came into the picture. He was afraid, all right? And so, yet we know, praise God, that when Jesus came, based on 2 Timothy 1:7, that God took care of that. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And so whatever the devil was trying to bring in into the natural realm, God has taken care of. And that's a blessing. That's truly a blessing. We don't have to live in fear. So when something happens to us, we often only look at everything with our five senses, instead of looking at it how God looks at it. We must deal with what is going on from a place of authority. It is important for us to see ourselves the way God made us, healed. God made us healed. There was no sickness and disease before Adam and Eve sinned. So any situation that is not of God must bow to the finished work of Jesus Christ. So let's turn over to 2 Corinthians, because I'm going to emphasize this throughout the whole message. 2 Corinthians 4:18. I'm going to read it from several translations, but we're going to go a couple different places as well. And whatever translation you have, it might be one that I pick. So 2 Corinthians 4:18, because the title, Subject to Change, is three words that I would like you to get so ingrained in you tonight that when you go to bed, you're laying in bed sleeping, subject to change, subject to change. When you get up tomorrow morning, you're thinking, subject to change, subject to change. I'm going to keep repeating it because it's really important for us to get a hold of that. 2 Corinthians 4:18 in the New King James. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Okay? Now, the word temporary there means subject to change. They're temporary. So everything that I see, every material thing that's out here, has the potential to change. Anything that you are experiencing is subject to change. Listen to it in the New Living. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Now, the Holy Spirit here is telling Paul to admonish the Corinthians to not look at the seen, but focus on the unseen. Paul is telling the Corinthians that they will encounter persecutions and troubles, but he's calling them light afflictions and is directing them to look at the unseen world. Okay? So he's saying, don't go there. And here's the man that's been tortured and beaten, shipwrecked, stoned. And he's saying, it's a light affliction. Okay? And I guarantee that some of us and some of you that have been around for a while, you can see a change in your life, that there was a time when maybe when something like that happened in your life that was really almost catastrophic or something, you had a different way of reacting than you do now because of being in the Word. So Paul called these things light afflictions. Now, we can easily get all wrapped up in situations and circumstances in our lives, but the truth is they are subject to change. Subject to change. Say that. Subject to change. Okay? Now, anything in the natural realm is subject to change. Things in the spirit realm, however, are forever and they remain. So you may be able to look back, and sometimes it's good to pull up a memorial of the past and think about something that God did for you that sometimes you forget about because it was pretty monumental. You know, you think of maybe diverting you from a car accident, diverting you from marrying the wrong person, all these kinds of things that could have happened. All right. And so sometimes we have to bring those to our remembrance and think on them for a while, because that doesn't mean that just because it happened in the past, it's not going to happen in the future. It doesn't with God. It's still subject to change, okay? So I can personally reflect, and some of you know that I was diagnosed when I was 45 years old with uterine cancer. And for several years, I had prayed and believed that this ugly fibroid that kept growing and growing was going to disappear. And I'm like, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. You know, I had people pray for me. And when the diagnosis came that it was, after it was biopsied, that it was cancer, I had prayer, and I just had this peace, go get it out, get rid of it, okay? So I prayed, and I believed, and I didn't realize till I got to Rhema that I had operated in the gift of faith. So when, being in the medical profession, your mind goes, oh, chemotherapy, radiation, all these things, you're going, out of work, can't work, all these things that going in your mind. And the time came, we had the surgery, and I was in the hospital, and the doctor came with the pathology report, and he said, there's no sign of cancer. It was subject to change, okay? Subject to change. So applying the Word of God to it and standing on the Word and believing God, okay, caused this to change, all right? So to me, it was a miracle. So don't ever try to convince me that God doesn't heal, because you'll waste your time, amen? So all of us have to sometimes go back to some of those circumstances that changed our life forever and remember them, okay? So when you and I apply the Word of God to a situation that doesn't line up with the Word of God, it has to change. Just like Abraham, it had to change. We're going to talk about him in a minute. Sickness and disease, all right? We know that God never intended for his creation to be sick. Jesus wasn't sick the whole time he was here. But by Jesus going to Calvary, he provided the great exchange. So Jesus took all the sickness and disease on himself and gave us healing so that we could walk in divine health. And that's our goal, is to be able to walk in divine health. All right? We don't want to just keep, like a fly swatter, just every time something comes up, get rid of it. We want to have a consistent lifestyle of walking in divine health. So yet, we see sickness all around us, right? Just go to a hospital, go to a nursing home, and your heart breaks, okay? But it is subject to change. It is subject to change. Because there is power in the spoken word of God, the sickness must obey God's power and leave your body. It cannot stay the same, and it may happen instantly, or it may take time, but it is subject to change and it must obey. The moment you speak the word of God to something, it changed in the spirit realm. You couldn't see it, but it was done. Okay? Just like when Jesus spoke to the fig tree. We're going to look at that. The change that you see with your eyes may take time, but it was done as soon as you apply the word to it, as soon as you prayed, when you spoke, it was done. Now, I'm going to read that same 2 Corinthians 4:18 from the Amplified. It says, since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are visible are temporal, brief, and fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. Medicine cannot come up with a disease or illness that God can't cure. Medicine cannot come up with a disease, a bacteria, an illness that God can't cure. Anything that doesn't line up with the word is subject to change. When I speak over someone or something that is temporary, it is subject to change. If I lay hands on somebody and I'm praying for their healing, the moment I spoke, laid hands on them and prayed, they got it. But it's in the spirit realm. If they didn't experience it instantly, okay, it will manifest. So let's look at Abraham and Sarah. Let's go over to Genesis 17. Genesis 17. And we're going to read verses. Well, let's see. I'm going to start at verse 1. Because this is God talking to Abram at the time. Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, he was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. He's already promised him prosperity. Verse 3, and Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Notice the tense. Have I made thee. What is it? Past. It's done. God spoke it. It's done. And Abram's going, how is that possible? And that's what we do, you know, as in the natural realm, as you know, human beings, we kind of like, how is that possible? But Abram is no longer Abram, but he's now Abraham because God spoke it, and now he's the father of many nations. But he's still fatherless, okay? Now go over to verse 15 and 16. And God said unto Abram, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. But Sarah shall her name be. And of course, Sarah means princess. In verse 16, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. So when you think about it, wow, okay. He's 99. She's 10 years younger than him. And so they're both, he's impotent, barren, all right? And yet God is saying what he's already done. We're supposed to learn from the Old Testament. We're supposed to look at them as an example. And that's why Abraham is called the father of faith. So let's go over to Romans 4:17. Romans 4:17. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified, depending on which translation you have if you want to follow along. Romans 4:17. Because when God speaks something, you know the phrase, you can take it to the bank? It's done. And many times you need to look at the tense of it because it's already happened. Where did it happen? In the spirit realm. Okay? It's already out there. And people need to understand that the spirit realm is more real than the natural realm in many ways. We just don't see it. Okay? Romans 4:17 in the Amplified. As it is written, this is God's way, I have made you the father of many nations. And there he's using the past tense. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. Amen? All right? So let me just say that again, because I think it's critical that we understand how this works with God and how Abraham, as the father of faith, believed. All right? He believed the words of God. And even though what in the natural, okay, didn't seem possible, he still believed. So was there anything that God spoke out that was visible to the naked eye? No. He's got two impotent people. But yet God spoke it and they believed it. Amen? So that's something for us to learn from. Let me go back to verse 17 there. Who gives life to the dead. So dead bodies, barren woman, impotent man, okay? And speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised, already spoke. We saw it back in Genesis 17, as if they already existed. So in other words, Abraham concentrated on what he couldn't see in the natural. All right. So this is our God taking an impossible situation and making it possible. It is subject to change when God is in the middle of it. When the word of God is applied, it has to change. It is subject to change. Verse 18, for Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be. Verse 19, he did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's dead womb. Verse 20, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly questioned concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Now, in the beginning of that verse 20, it says, no unbelief or distrust. And in the King James, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Right? Verse 21, he was fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. Are you? Are you fully satisfied and assured that what God has said, he's able to do? Got quiet. Okay. Verse 22. That is why his faith was credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God. But the words it was credited to him were written not for his sake alone, but they were written for our sakes too. Folks, we learn from the Old Testament, and this is for us to learn from. Righteousness, standing acceptable to God, will be granted and credited to us also who believe in, trust in, adhere to, and rely on God who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So Abraham had two areas that he had to think about, but he chose not to look at the obvious. He didn't look at the seen. He was looking at the unseen. He didn't look at the deadness of Sarah's womb or the deadness of his own body. He knew that based on God's promise, these physical issues were temporal or subject to change. They had to obey. All right? So their bodies did not line up with what God had told him, so the bodies had to change. People thought that Jesus was dead and not coming back to life. But Jesus had told his disciples, I will return. And his body had to obey and line up with those words. His body had to line up with the Father's promise of a Savior for all of mankind. So his body was subject to change, and he's alive. Buddha, Muhammad, they're dead. But our Jesus is alive today. So my question to you is, what are you facing today? What kind of negative report have you been given? And what is it that the world says is impossible? What are you believing? Because it is temporary and it is subject to change.
It's got to obey the word of God. It is subject to change. Now, one of the healing technicians out in Rhema was teaching and sharing about, you know, we talk about things impossible. And he said, you know what? He said, people have to understand that the concept of impossibility does not exist in the Godhead. God's going to go around and say, that's impossible. Okay? And be careful that we don't limit God. That's what we tend to do because we're in this natural human body and we're here on the earth and it's so easy to think, that's not possible. Okay? Why? Who said? Who said? It is subject to change. Okay? So start reflecting back on the things that God's already done. Get yourself supported and review the word over and over if you have to, because whatever you're facing, it is subject to change. Take the answer from God's word and speak it over and over, knowing inside of you that what you see is subject to change. It has no choice. So we need to pay attention to the unseen and less attention to the five senses or the things that are seen. And you know, I totally understand this because, you know, we go around, you're hit with social media and television and radio or whatever, and it bombards you with things that focus on the natural, all right? And so it's so easy to get pulled in the opposite direction of where you're trying to take a stand and believe God for, okay? But you can do it. Just like Paul, these light afflictions, you know? I'm going to go back to 2 Corinthians 4:18, and I'm going to read it from the J.B. Phillips. This is a good one. For we are looking all the time, not at the visible things, but at the invisible. How much of my time do I spend looking at the visible? The visible things are transitory. It is the invisible things that are really permanent. Complete Jewish Bible. We concentrate not on what is seen, but on what is not seen, since things seen are temporary, but things not seen are eternal. One thing we can take away from this is living in the natural realm can cause us to do the opposite of what this scripture is telling us to do. Our natural tendency is to look at what is in the natural realm. But Paul is saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't concentrate on what you see, on the seen, but on the unseen. Whatever we see in the natural is subject to change. You need to say it one more time, guys. Subject to change. You're going to be saying that when you go to bed tonight, when you get up in the morning, when you get up during the night, subject to change, okay? Now listen to it in the Passion. Because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen, for what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal. Don't focus your attention on what is seen. And, you know, that is something that we grow and learn over time because it's so easy in the natural realm to just look at the problem. Contemporary English Version says, things that are seen don't last forever, but things that are not seen are eternal. That's why we keep our minds on the things that cannot be seen. The NIV. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So you can kind of, what I did was kind of took a lot of the translations and put something together. And this is what you could say. Don't look at the troubles. Do not look at things you can see. Don't consider or look at the things seen. Don't concentrate on what you see. Don't focus your attention on what is seen because they are only temporary, they don't last forever, and they are subject to change. So however you want to get that across, don't concentrate on it, don't focus on it, don't pay attention on it because it is only going to change. It is subject to change. Remember, faith is not something that we can see. I can't see my salvation. It's in the spirit realm, okay? But I know that I'm saved and I know I have faith. I just know that. Can I prove it to you with something material? No. But we do know that the result of our salvation does affect certain things, and people can see us. They're like, who are you? What happened to you? You know, I knew you when. So there's things that, yes, that do, you know, are there's evidence there, but I can't say, well, here's my faith or here's my salvation. All right. So there's things in the spirit realm that we can't see. Now, Hebrews 11:1, well-known scripture. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here's something that's in the spirit realm that we can't see. It's not seen. But I love it in the Passion. Hebrews 11:1, the Passion says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. So it's like faith is like a lasso, is the way I could kind of was thinking of this example. So in the spirit realm, let's say you're believing for healing. So you attach, you take a lasso, your faith, you attach that lasso to the healing in the spirit realm. All right, it hasn't manifested in your body, but you have decided by faith, that's mine. Jesus bought it, paid for it. It's a gift to me, and I am not letting go of it. So by faith, you hold on to that healing that's in the spirit realm. And once it manifests down here on the earth, you don't need faith anymore because it's now in the natural realm. But it's out there in the supernatural, in the spirit realm, it's already there. It's waiting for us to pull it out by faith because it's ours. But I can't see my faith. And you know, like talked about this, you don't need faith when you can see something. So fear will cause you to focus on the seen, but faith will cause you to focus on the unseen. And fear focuses on what is in front of you. That's exactly what Satan did to Adam and Eve, and to Eve particularly. But you know, did God really say, look at this, look at, okay. He wants us to stay in the natural realm and all the things that are not the word. If he can get us to do that, then he thinks he succeeded. Dummy. Okay. You go to the doctor. Let's say you notice something. You have a lump up here on your chest. And go to the doctor. He does an x-ray. And he reads the report. And he says, it's cancer. But faith says that it is subject to change. I don't care what it is. High blood pressure. Ebola. Okay, whatever it is subject to change. We don't deny that it's there. We don't deny that it is present, okay, because it's there in the natural realm. But my job is not to look at what I see. I will not focus, concentrate, pay attention, or consider what I see. I don't deny it, but I'm not going to go around talking about it all the time, okay, because it's subject to change. All right, so you can hinder the faith in your heart by thinking incorrectly. And, you know, we get great teaching around here. And a couple months back, Pastor Ed was teaching on right and wrong thinking, our thinking. And we do need to think correctly because you can get obsessed with something. Okay, and I'm sure every one of us can go back to think how we used to be and react to things when somebody gave us a report or said something, you know, this happened, that happened, and we just go bonkers. When in reality, we've learned over a period of time that, okay, God's in control. Didn't take him by surprise. And so we need to get to that point where we have renewed our minds on the word of God, not the TV, so that our thinking is correct and it lines up with the word of God. Because it's subject to change. That situation is subject to change. 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 5:7, New King James Version. Familiar scripture. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. In the Passion it says, for we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. We live by faith and not by what we see with our eyes. It's kind of almost, I don't know, it doesn't really, I don't know if it really qualifies like for an oxymoron, but it's like, how do you live in the seen world by not looking at the seen? Okay, you know, can get, but you have to understand that we're talking about the spiritual realm, and that's where our focus has to be. Just as I mentioned and read what F.F. Bosworth said, those natural things are there simply for us living in the natural realm in the world. But our percentage of time and the time we are here, we should be looking and thinking and focused on the things of the unseen in the spirit realm. So, 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight, and the passion, for we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. The just shall live by faith. That is to be our lifestyle. Our lifestyle is supposed to be by faith. Now, think about this. I have a question for you. How does wine become wine? Okay, none of you guys drink. I know. Okay. Okay. Grapes are pressed, correct? They take the juice from the grapes, and it's fermented, and there's wine. Now, by definition, wine is aged. So good wine, or the better the wine, the older it is, right? Okay, so loved wine in the BC days, trust me. Just a little confession there, okay? But good wine takes years to age. Now think about this. The very first miracle that Jesus performed was to turn water into wine, and not just any wine, but good wine, to the degree that the people at the wedding said, wow, they don't usually do that. They don't save the best for last, okay? So think about this. Jesus was really economical because he didn't use juice. He used water, okay? So he, instead of juice, made the wine complete with age. The wine started out as water, but now it's complete with age. Complete with the past that didn't exist before. Okay? Isn't that awesome? So I want you to try to personalize this. I want you to try to look at some things that maybe you thought are not possible. God can change your past. Everything in your life is subject to change, especially when you are born again, have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because he's always going to be looking to do good in your life. So I want you to start thinking about the things that are impossible to you that are really not impossible. I want you to kind of, I guess it's like, okay, I never thought this could happen. But we can get to a place where we really limit God, and we shouldn't do that as Christians. He takes absolute situations that look impossible because we're used to seeing something in the natural and changes it, because it is part of our five senses and it is subject to change. So I want you to start thinking of something that maybe you didn't really think would happen, all right? And I want you to start believing that with God, all things are possible, and it can be because it is subject to change. So let's look at Isaiah. Turn over to Isaiah 1. And if you came to Christ, all right, with a past, once we all got born again, think about it, we're now new creatures in Christ. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. So I changed. My spirit person went from death to life. I am no longer that person. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. My body didn't change. Wish it did. But my body didn't change. But I now have a new spirit. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. So everybody at Isaiah 1, I'm going to read verses 18 to 20, and I'm going to read it in the New King James. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. though your sins are like scarlet, can you see your sins? No, okay. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I'm going to read it in the New Living. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. God's going to do this. I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. If you will only obey me, you'll have plenty to eat. But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you'll be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. Because we live in a natural world and are often ruled by our five senses, it's so easy to limit God. We need to be reminded how powerful he is and that there's nothing impossible. I'm going to repeat it. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what it looks like. Okay? Anything is possible with God because those situations are subject to change. Everything in your life that is not from God is subject to change by the power of God. For in Jesus, our past is as white as snow, just as the water has turned to wine. Let's turn to John 6:63. We're going to look at what Jesus was saying here. John 6:63. Well-known scripture also. I'm going to read it first in the King James, New King James. It's the Spirit who gives life. And in the King James, it says, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. And we know the word quickeneth there means makes alive. All right? So it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So when we are speaking the words of God, there is power in them. They are spirit and they are life. This is Jesus speaking. Can you see words? Can you see words? No. Okay. But do they have power? Okay. Absolutely. So our words, if we're speaking something positive or negative, it's going to determine the end result. So we may not be able to see the words, but they are producing something in the spirit realm. Depending on what I say, okay, it could be positive or negative, but my words don't have the power that God's word does. Okay, so when it comes to a situation, I need to find out what God is saying and say what he said. Nothing new. We're well aware of that. So listen to the Good News translation of this same verse. Life is spiritual. Your physical existence doesn't contribute to that life. The words that I have spoken to you are spiritual and they are life. The CEV says, this is Jesus again speaking, the Spirit is the one who gives life. Spirit gives life. Human strength can do nothing. And the words that I have spoken to you are from that life-giving Spirit. New Living Translation. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. The easy-to-read version. It is the Spirit that gives life. The body is of no value for that. But the things I have told you are from the Spirit, so they give life. Listen in the Passion. This is a good one. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives life. That which is of the natural realm is of no help. The words I speak to you are spirit and life, but there are still some of you who won't believe. All right, let's look at Romans 8. Romans 8, 5 to 6. Romans 8, 5 to 6. Everybody there? Okay. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's why we need to spend as much time with the Lord, in the Word, because we want to experience his life. We are not going to be carnally minded. We want to be spiritually minded. So I could say that if my mind is set on the things of the flesh, I'm looking at what I can see, but the things of the spirit are not seen. Therefore, if I am carnally minded and looking at the natural or things that I can see, then the result is death. But if I'm looking at the things I can't see, I'm looking at the things of the spirit, and I am spiritually minded, which is life and peace. God gives us life and peace. The devil just takes your life. And listen to it in the J.B. Phillips. This is pretty, I like this one. The carnal attitude sees no further than natural things. Wow. The carnal attitude sees no further than the natural things, but the spiritual attitude reaches out after the things of the spirit. Reaches out after things of the spirit. The former attitude means bluntly death. The latter means life and inward peace. And this is only to be expected, for the carnal attitude is inevitably opposed to the purpose of God and neither can nor will follow his laws for living. Men who hold this attitude cannot possibly please God. Those of you that are here tonight, you're reaching out after the things of the spirit. Okay? Every time you go to church, every time you put on a CD, every time you're watching one of the Christian channels or something, you're reaching out for the things of the Spirit. Praise God. Amen? You come out for fellowship with the other brethren, okay? You are reaching out for things of the Spirit. I love that J.B. Phillips one. The CEV. People who are ruled by their desires think only of themselves. Ouch. People who are ruled by their desires think only of themselves. Everyone who's ruled by the Holy Spirit thinks about spiritual things. If our minds are ruled by our desires, we will die. But if our minds are ruled by the Spirit, we will have life and peace. The passion. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits them. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. So, folks, it behooves us to be spiritually minded. The New Living Translation, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Let's look at Isaiah 55 for a minute. Isaiah 55, 10 to 11. And I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. Isaiah 55, starting verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish, say accomplish, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper, say prosper, in the thing which I sent it. Okay, this is Isaiah speaking here. By the Lord. Okay, now listen in the New Living. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. Of course, Pastor Ed has been teaching about the seed, planting the seed and watering and so forth. Verse 11, it is the same with my word. I sent it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to do, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. So God is saying, the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. Say, always produces fruit. Always. It always produces fruit. But folks, you and I are the senders. It's sent out, and you and I send it out with our words. We send it out with what we say. In the NCV, it says, rain and snow fall from the sky and don't return without watering the ground. They cause the plants to sprout and grow, making seeds for the farmer and bread for the people. The same thing is true of the words I speak. They will not return to me empty. They make the things happen that I want to happen. They succeed in doing what I send them to do. So you and I are the ones that are the senders. We speak the word. So by us speaking the word of God over our situations, what is seen in the natural is subject to change, and God's word will prevail no matter how long it takes. His word always produces fruit, and it's good fruit. He produces fruit. God's word is always going to produce fruit on the first day. On the first day, it produces fruit. Let's look at Mark 11. Mark 11, and let's look at verse 12. And as you know, this is the story of Jesus with the fig tree. And this whole, you know, this whole chapter there, where a lot of people concentrate on 22, 23, 24, 25, which is great, okay? But in context, Jesus is teaching his disciples what happened with the fig tree. He's helping them to understand what this is about. He wants them to understand this principle. So starting at verse 12, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. This is Jesus. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, he spoke to it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Okay, let's go over to verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree, which thou cursed, is withered away. Okay, so now's Jesus' opportunity to teach them with this example. All right, and he says, and Jesus answering said, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. I'm going to go back up for a minute and read it from the Passion, but let me just catch this for a minute, okay? Keep going. Verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So, disciples were looking at the natural, or the seen realm, where Jesus was in the spiritual realm. Jesus knew in his spirit that the fig tree was dead, and that was in the natural or seen realm didn't matter to him. It didn't matter to him. He spoke it, and he moved on, okay? But the disciples didn't see it until the next day. He knew it was subject to change, and he knew that was temporary. And it had to change because his words went forth, and his words have power. And he knew his words would always accomplish the fruit it was sent to produce. So in verses 20 to 26, as I said, Jesus has taken advantage to teach his disciples how to live in the spirit realm and stay focused on the unseen instead of the seen realm. Listen to starting verse 20 from the Passion. In the morning, they passed by the fig tree that Jesus spoke to, and it was completely withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to him, Teacher, look, that's the fig tree you cursed. It's now all shriveled up and dead. And Jesus replied, let the faith of God be in you. Listen to the truth I speak to you. If someone says to this mountain with great faith and having no doubt, mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the midst of the sea, and believes that what he says will happen, it will be done. Now, verse 24, I love in the Passion. This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Notice what's the tense. Believe that you have received it. He's again just like God with Abraham, he's focusing on past tense. Believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, if you find that you carry something in your heart against another person, release him and forgive him so that your Father in heaven will also release you and forgive you of your faults. But if you will not release forgiveness, don't expect your Father in heaven to release you from your misdeeds. We know that 2/3 of Jesus' ministry was healing. 2/3 was healing. Okay, but stop and think for a minute. He did this before he went to the cross. He did this as a man, functioning in the role as a man, and he operated in the spirit or the unseen realm. Just another example for us to learn from. From his perspective, things in the natural were subject to change. When he fed the multitudes, what did he have? A couple fish, some bread, okay? And he did it more than once. So he saw that this was subject to change. The change happened, and not only did they feed the multitudes, there was leftovers. Okay? So he didn't concentrate, focus, or pay attention on the things that were seen, but that which was unseen. Because things in the seen realm are subject to change, we should do the same. Amen. Blessings on you. Thank you for attending.